Today's shir is Masechta Erech and Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel. Amud Aleph at the fifth line. Our previous shir, the Gemara had begun already two shiurim ago by mentioning a brisa that said that the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni both took place on Tisha B'Av, both took place on a Sunday, and both were in a year that was the year after Shemitah. In our previous year, we spent most of the year discussing that how is that possible, given that the Pasuk says, after the destruction of the Bayis Rishon, Yecheskel, who went into Golus many years already before the Churban HaBayis, with the Golos of the Cherish Vahamazger, and Yecheskel says in Nevuah, 14 years, the Pasuk says, after the Churban HaBayis, which are 25 years after he went into Golos, the Pasuk says, and we know that that was a Yovel year, that he was saying his Nevuah, because the Pasuk says he said the Nevuah in a year with his Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month. As we learned in the previous year, there's only one time Rosh Hashanah is on the 10th of the month. And that's in Yovel, when the Rosh Hashanah of Yovel is on Yom Kippur, which is on the 10th of Tishrei. And we spent time trying to understand how that pasuk could be understood. And then the Gemara, after explaining that pasuk and what year in the cycle Churban Bayis Rishon was, started discussing Churban Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara said that Churban Bayis Sheni, Churban Bayis Rishon, we know, the Gemara said, was 850 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. We'll speak about that more in a moment. And Churban Bayis Sheni, we know the Beis HaMikdash Sheni stood for 420 years. And if the Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years, the Gemara discussed how will we understand when Shemitah was and when Yovel was. And the Gemara ended up with telling us about the famous machlokes of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. How we figure Yovel. The opinion of the Rabbanan is that Yovel is figured every 50 years. You have seven Shemitahs, seven times seven equals 49. The 50th year is Yovel. And then you start again. Rabbi Yehuda holds that year number 50 is Yovel, obviously. But it's also the first, Olam L'kan U'L'kan. It's the first of the new cycle as well. And what happened was that the Gemara was able to understand how the Churban Bayis Rishon, how the Churban Bayis Rishon could come out, how the Churban Bayis Sheni could come out according to Rabbi Yehuda. But that left us with a dilemma how to understand the Churban Bayis Rishon, being also the same Braisa. So the Gemara gave two truths. One teretz is that the entire Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and that the Churban Bayis Rishon, even though we have all of these issues about the 14 years after being a Yovel year, there was an interruption. Because there was a time when not all of Klal Yisrael, that the 10 Shvatim were taken to Golos by Sancheriv, and that, so to speak, suspended the count. The second teretz, a much simpler teretz, is that even though the Braisa that we began with, that compares the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni, it doesn't mean to compare them in every detail. Yes, both took place on a Sunday, both took place on a Tisha B'Av, but that it was a year after Shemitah, not necessarily. Now the Gemara gives a third explanation. Rav Ashi says, when we speak about the Churban Bayis Sheni, and we know that the Churban Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years, it really isn't the count of 420. Because Shit Shani, the first 6 years, Ad the Solok Ezra, until Ezra came up from Bavot Etzisrael, or Magdish, and really was Mekadish the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, like a Choshvel, or not counted. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ba'adnim B'telis Avedis Beis HaLakonu, what happened was that Kairish gave them permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Akum told Kairish, if you're going to let the Jews build the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to rebel against you. They're going to stop paying taxes. So he suspended the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But Adin, Betelus, based on Kenny the Bishlaim, the Avoida was suspended. And the Pasuk goes on to say, Vishitza based in up. Then, 6 years later, they gave permission to complete the building. Ad Yom Tlos L'Yarcha Odob, the Shachnis L'Malchus, the Yavish Malka, the Yavish became the king, he gave the permission. Vitana and the Brisa continues to say, Bois Hashana, Bois Hizman L'Shana Abba, Ola Ezra Galusa Imoi, Ezra then came up from Metzisrael, the Ksiv Yavish Shalim B'Chodesh Hashmishi, the Chodesh Hashmishi actually is of, but since he came at the end of the year, Hishnas Hashviyas L'Malach, the year only starts counting afterwards. So we take those 6 years off, and we know that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in year 421, it turns out to be a year after Shemitah. Gufa. So we also mentioned the previous year as follows, that if we count from when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim until they entered Eretz, until the Beis Hamikdash Rishon was destroyed, you have 880 years. How? From when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim until the Beis Hamikdash was actually built were 480 years. The Beis Hamikdash Rishon stood for 410. But we know that we have to deduct 40 years. The first 40 years, they were still in the Midbar. So that takes you down to 850. And the Gemara said, 850 is a great number, because it's divisible by 50. It's 17 yovels. The only problem is that that left us with a problem, as we said in the previous year, because if that's the case, year 850 is the year of a yovel. And we quoted earlier in our shir already today that the Beis Hamikdash, only 14 years after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, was it a yovel year. So where did those 14 years go? So the Gemara said in the previous year, well, you also start counting 14 years later. Because for the first 14 years that Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, there was the 7 years of Kibush, of conquering the land, and the 7 years of Chaluk, of dividing the land, and they don't count. And Gufa, the Gemara repeats that. Shivas Yoivos Mani Yisrael Mishnichnes Laretz Vach Yotzu. As I said, it's 17 times 50, 850. From when Klal Yisrael came into Israel until the Beis Hamikdash Rishon was destroyed. However, we said in our previous year, the count cannot begin exactly from when they entered at Israel. For if we will say so, year 850 is a Yovel year. And therefore, if it will be a Yovel year, we'll have a difficulty, V'yatamites will have a difficulty with the pasuk that we learned yesterday that said that Yechezkel was saying in the Nevuah, Ba'aba Asr Shana Achash Okseir, that the 14th year after the destruction was a Yovel year. So we answered, the only way to answer is because we take off 14 years. And now it's perfect. We push off Yovel by 14 years. The 14 years of Kibush Achiluk. Ask the Gemara, Sheva Shekiv Shimonolan. But how do we know it took him 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara. The Kama Kalev. Kalev says, we all remember the Kalev in Yeshua were the two Meraglim who did not say ill about Eretz Yisrael. And they were, and Yeshua's reward was that he was going to get the city of Hebron. Kalev was that he was going to get the city of Hebron. So, the pasuk that we're learning now is the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua where Kalev comes from Hebron. And he says, Ben Abern, Babam Mashiach Noichi, B'shaleich Oisi Moshirash, B'shaleich Moshirash Oisi, B'kodesh B'nei L'Ragels Oretz. I was 40 years old when I was sent to be one of the spies. V'ate Hine Anoichi, Ben Hayoim, I am now, B'chomesh V'shmoinim Shana. I'm 85 years old today. So knowing Kalev's age helps us understand, says the Gemara, how long it took him to conquer Israel. For says the Gemara, V'amamar, Shana Rishayna, the first year after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Osa Moshe Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. Shnia, in the second year, Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan was actually erected, V'shilach Meraglim. And that's when the Meraglim was sent. Now, says the Gemara, if that's the case, and we all know, and we said it a moment ago, the Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar 40 years, so 40 minus 2 is 38. So it turns out, Ki Aver Yadein, when Klai Yisrael left the Midbar entering Eretz Yisrael, if Kalei was 40 when the story of the Meraglim took place, and they were in the Midbar for another 38 years, 78. Ki Aver Yadein Kalev, Bar Kamahavi, how old was he? Bar Tamnon Nechentarti, 80 minus 2, 78. Now, as we read a moment ago, they're about to divide up Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua Kalev is coming for his portion. Ki Kamach Flagnachlis, now when dividing up Eretz Yisrael, Kamer, he's saying, Bechamesh V'Eshmanim Shonim Anoichi. So we see that from 78 to 85, is 7. Ishtakach, the Sheva Kivshu. That it must be, it took him 7 years to conquer the land, and that's why at 85, 77 years, after they entered Eretz Yisrael, that's when Kalev is coming for his portion. So says the Gemara, fine. We've proven that it took him 7 years to capture Eretz Yisrael. However, asked the Gemara, v'sheva shechilkum v'nolan, how do you know it took him 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, ibay seim v'sheva kifshu sheva chilkum. The first pshat the Gemara says, if it took him 7 years to conquer, it must have taken him 7 years to divide. Farshim are very troubled. Why? Because one took seven, does the other take seven? So the Chazon Ish says a nice pshat. Chazon Ish says it didn't take him 7 years to divide the land. He says it didn't take him 7 years to conquer the land. It took him much more than 7 years to conquer the land. It took him 14 years to conquer the land. But they didn't wait to start dividing the land till when they finished conquering the land. After 7 years of conquering, they already started the division process. Ibai Seima, another teretz, Midalei Mishkach Slo Abba Eshushana. Interesting teretz. We started with a kasha. What was our kasha? That if we do simple math, the year of the Churban, year 850, was the year of Yovel. But that led us with a problem, because the Pasuk says that Yovel was 14 years later. So says the Gemara, I have to do something with this 14 years. So what do I do with those 14 years? I must say that seven were for conquering, seven were for division. Midrash Mishkachslu. If we won't say this, Abba Eshushana Achashok Seir, to understand the pasuk that says that the 14 years after the Churban was the Yovel year, there's no other way of getting to understand that pasuk without saying this. Which, of course, the Mefarshim are very troubled. That isn't the proof. That's a question. So Mefarshim attempt to say that really the Gemara isn't saying two Terutzim. The Gemara is saying one Teretz. The Gemara is saying, and there's one underlying principle to the entire Teretz of the Gemara. Every word of Tanakh is not coincidental. Every word of Tanakh is there for a reason. So if the Pasuk is telling us that Kalev was 85 years old when he asked for his city of Hebron, and the Pasuk is telling us that 14 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was a Yovel year, it's not just reporting the news. There's a reason to teach us this. And if we will be left with more questions than answers after we learn these psukim, then the psukim have defeated their purpose. And in fact, Tosfos asks the question, even if you look at the age of Kalev, did he go to be one of the Meraglim on his birthday? And was he 85 years old exactly on his birthday when they divided? There might have been more years or might have been less years, depending exactly when in the year his birthday is and when in the year the division is. So how come the Gemara doesn't explore that, says Tosfos? Because again, the same point. The Psukim aren't here to leave us with ambiguity. The Psukim are here to leave us with clear, with some sort of understanding. And the way to make all these Psukim work and be understandable must be Sheva Kivishu, Sheva Chilku. The last Mishnayis of our Perek continues somewhat on the same path that we've learned in our whole Perek, and that is that the Mishnayis in our Perek were minimums and maximums. Now the Mishnayis begin with subjects that have a minimum but have no maximum. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, actually in the northwest corner, there was a lishka satloim. That's where they kept the animals that they needed prepared for the kabbonis. And says the Mishnah, Poichsin, Mishisha Tloim Hamvukarim, Belishka Satloim. They needed to always have at least 6 animals prepared in that area. Kedel Shabbos Yom Tovim. Because as we discussed earlier in our parak, you could have Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah come out 3 consecutive days, Thursday, Friday, Rosh Hashanah, and then Shabbos, or Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. And every day you bring 2 carbon tamid. So that leaves you with a need for 6 carbon tamid. And you can have that oil as many as you want. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, there's never less than 2 chatzoitris, 9 harps, and you can have more if you so want. However, the cymbal, they only had 1 cymbal. Why? Because it's a very noisy instrument. And if they're going to have more, it's just going to drown out the voices of the Levium and the other instruments. Ask the Gemara, it was speaking about Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah and having animals prepared, so 6 aren't enough. Tamidim musafim tuvahava. Because we know on every Shabbos, they brought 2 animals for Karban Musaf. Rosh Hashanah, they brought 7 animals for Musaf Rosh Hashanah. They brought 7 animals for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Hashanah is on the Rosh Chodesh. So you need 16 more animals. So why is the Mishnah speaking only about 6? Answers the Gemara. Tana ba'almakai. The Tana isn't speaking about how many animals are needed for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. But tamidim l'chodekai. All the Tana's focus is how many animals must you have prepared for the Karmat Amid. So why does it speak about Shabbos and Yantav Rosh Hashanah? Simonim ba'alma. It's just a simon, vachkama. Ein poichse mishisha tloim hamuvukarim, belishkas hatloim, abe yom koin mishrita. You have to have this many animals. And we'll explain this more in a minute. No, omani, because whose opinion is our bright Mishnah following, ben bagbaki? It's nice to mention that my bagbag was a ger. Why was he called ben bagbag? Because beis and gimel is 5, a hay. Who were the first 2 gerim in our history? Avraham and Sarah. Avraham had a hay added to his name, and Sarah had a hay added to her name. That's why when Ben Bagbag was a ger, they wanted to remind that he's, so to speak, a descendant of the first gerim, Avraham and Sarah. The Tanya. Ben Bagbag Omer. Menayin l'tomet shetom biker abu yom kan mishkita. How do we know that the Karm Tamid needs to be prepared 4 days before? Tamaloymer. The pasuk says regarding the Karm Tamid, Tishmeru l'hakrav li b'ma'adoi, u'lahalo na'oimer by the Karm Pesach. We remember the Karm Pesach had to be repeated before. V'hoi l'chem l'mishmeres ad abu osu yom l'chaydish. Ma' l'halo, just like over there, tom biker abu yomim kan mishkita, afkan tom biker abu yom kan mishkita. And says the Gemara. So in other words, Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos has nothing to do with how many animals you need for Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. It's just a way of saying how many carbon tamids were used. Dekanami, Dektani, Kedei l'Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Kedei l'Shabbos, L'Ktani l'Shabbos. It just says how many you would need if there were a Shabbos. It doesn't mean that you need it for this specific Shabbos. Shmamina. So Rashi gives 2 pshatim exactly what happened in the preparation of the carbon tamid animals. One pshat, Rashi says, is that you start with 6 animals. So let's use an easy week. We'll say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. According to Rashi, Sunday morning you start with the first pshat of Rashi. Sunday morning you start with 6 animals. And you have them there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So those animals are there for 3 days. And Wednesday morning, you take 2 of those animals and you use them for the Karmat Tamid of Wednesday. Shachva Tamid Shabbat Abayim. Monday, you're careful to put in 2 more animals so that you should always have enough of a supply of animals. So according to that pshat of Rashi, how many days were the animals actually there? 3 days before they were slaughtered. That's Rashi's first pshat. Rashi's second pshat, and Rashi tells us why he doesn't like his first pshat in a minute, is that the animals really need bikur 4 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So why does the Mishnah use the number 6? Because Wednesday, they were already removed from the pen, for Tam Shashach and Tam Shemen Abayim, and that's why you really need them for 4 days. Why does Rashi change, Rashi himself says it, why does he change his pshat? Because what does Al Gemara say is the source for the dinner beaker? Pesach. What happened by Karm Pesach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them on Yud Ben Nisan, Mishchu v'kchu l'chem tzoyim, take the tzoyim, and v'shachtu as a Pesach. So they took the tzoyim on Yud, the Karm Pesach was brought on Yud Dalet. Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, that's Vav. It's 5. So obviously Rashi says that it has to be there separated for 4 days before they're actually used. That's what forced Rashi himself to say is a different pshat. So it's interesting. Rashi here doesn't defend his first pshat. Rashi doesn't defend his first pshat anywhere. But the Das Kanim and Bali Taisvis in Chumash defend Rashi's first pshat. And they say just that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Moshe Rabbeinu told them in the name of Hashem, on Yud Ben Nisan to take, doesn't mean they took it on Yud. They were told to do it on Yud, but they only took it on Yud Aleph. They had Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And there's a nice raya to that pshat, to the first pshat, from the Mishnah. Because again, what did we just finish learning? That Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah are a simen. What's pshat in the simen? So the Baruch Tanur says a very nice pshat. Because on Shabbos and Yontif, you know, we're not allowed to prepare for after Shabbos and after Yontif. So on Erev Shabbos, when they knew that Rosh Hashanah would be Sunday, Monday, they prepared all the animals that they'll need Tuesday. That puts you for 3 days. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. That's a proof to the first pshat. But there are a fundamental question to what does the beaker mean? Does the beaker mean that you take animal that are already examined and now you keep them separate, that you should know you have already examined animals? Or does the beaker mean that this is the actual examination? And this machloikas rishonim, which is very fundamental, machloikas rishonim, has many repercussions. One, there's machloikas rishonim. When you have these animals quarantined, do you do beaker with them every day, or do you just keep them on the side? If we say that the animals you took are already animals that are mavukar, then you don't do it every day. If this is the purpose, then you have to check them every day. Another interesting machlokes achroinim. If they had to be magdish the animals before they were mavakar them. If we'll say that the animals that they took were already examined, so they probably will magdish them before they took him. If this is the examination, there's no point in being magdish them until we know that they're fine. There's another machlokes rishonim. I think all these machlokes are connected. If you didn't do beaker, what is the halacha? So actually, there are many rishonim that say for sure the beaker should not be essential. Why? Because the whole halacha beaker we learn from Karban Pesach, and the halacha is that by Karban Pesach, if you didn't do beaker, you could still bring a carbon. So we see that beaker is not absolutely essential. But it could be, it depends what the beaker is accomplishing. If the beaker is what's determining that the animal is not a balmum, then it's essential. We're not allowed to bring an animal that's a balmum. If it's only just to quarantine it, so it's good to quarantine, but it isn't absolutely essential. I saw a fascinating tshuva from the Maram Chagiz, based on this Gemara. He says, it's an important concept that he's discussing there. That every minig in Klal Yisrael is important to be, every tradition has some sort of a source and should be respected. He says, it's hard to say this minig. He says there was a minig in some communities that they would set the Seder table 4 days before the Seder already. He says, where does that minig come from? This Gemara. Because if this Gemara we just learned that they were vakar 4 days before the actual Karban Pesach. So we unfortunately don't have a Karban Pesach. So what shall we do? We should set the table for the Seder. There's a beautiful vart on this Gemara. The Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, B'shuva v'nachas tivosheyen. So it's somewhat of a difficult Pasuk. B'shuva means that we'll do tshuva. Of course, we'll do tshuva, we'll have Yeshua. What does it mean with nachas? The Farshim explained that the Chayvus Halvavah says that the biggest bracha a person can have is menuchas hanefesh. To know that he's on the right path, to feel comfortable in his life. What's the raya? So there's a beautiful verse. If you look at the tefillah on Shabbos, during the week we say a long Shemoneh Esrei, three times a day. Shabbos we say a very short Shemoneh Esrei. But there are three words in our Shemoneh Esrei and Shabbos that encompass all of our tefillahs. Ritzeinu b'menuchaseinu. When you ask for menucha, then you're fine. Then you have all the brach in the world. B'shuva v'nachas, you need to do tshuva b'v'nachas, that we should have that menuchas hanefesh. So he says, that's pshat, why they needed to do bikur for 4 days before they brought the Karban Pesach. What did the bikur mean? The bikur means that they should feel that they're on the right path. Mishchu v'kuchul hamtzoyin. Mishchu yudeichem avadazara v'kuchul hamtzoyin. When you know that you're on the right path, then you could come to avodas Hashem. Another pshat, interesting pshat, Chassam Sofer says interesting pshat. He says, when a person begins doing tshuva, what happens when a person begins doing tshuva? He recognizes that what he did till now wasn't so great. But the more he does tshuva, the more he recognizes that his past actions weren't proper. So the first day, you do bikur, so you're starting to do tshuva. What's the first thing that happens after you do tshuva? The second day, you have to do even more bikur. Because you realize you have even more to do tshuva for. The third day, even more so. After you have a chazaka to live that way, that you realize that we need to do better, then the fourth day you could be a carbon. Come close to Hashem. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, b'shtei chatzoytzus, you can never have less than 2 chatzoytzus, u'mesifin, and we can have as many as you want. Ask the Gemara, v'ad kama, but what's the maximum? So the Rishonim ask, why would we think that there is a maximum? So I saw 2 pshatim. One pshat is, we want to do a mitzvah, hidur mitzvah. So the Gemara wants to tell us, what would be a hidur mitzvah in terms of chatzoytzus? That's one pshat. Another pshat is, that certainly if you have too many instruments, it just gets too noisy. So the Gemara wants to know, at what point are too many trumpets? At what point do you have too many trumpets? Amr Rav Huna, v'amr le Amr Azvid, Amr Rav Huna, ad mei v'esrim. Once you have 120. Shnemar, v'imom kahanim l'meya, v'esrim mechatzim mechatzaitris. They had 120 trumpets. Metisha kenairis, v'tziltzul levad. Amr, menani mili. How do we know that you never have more than one symbol? Amr Rav Asid, Amr Kra, v'osa v'metzaltayim. So osa had the symbols. Ask the Gemara, metzaltayim trihu. The definition of the word mitzal time is a Lashon Rabin, so it must mean two. So how do we say you could only have one? Answers the Gemara. Kivin the chad avidita avdi. What's the symbol? You have two pieces that you bang together. The chad gavra avabu, and there's one person holding both of those pieces. That's why it's kar lechad, it's called one instrument. Continues the Mishnah. You can never have less than 12 levim on the duchan. Although the Michas Chinuch says, but the Evid, if you have less, it's fine. Furthermore, the Machlokes Rishonim, what 12 does the Mishnah refer to? Does it mean the 12 that sang? Or does it refer to the 12 that played instruments? Or Mesifin at Oilam, and you can have as many as you want. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Ein HaKotten Nichtas Lazar LaAvoida, a cotton Levi, the way Rashi explains, it's talking about a Levi who's a cotton, Mein HaTuri Avoida, El B'Shah Shalvim Omer B'Shir, unless they're already Levim saying Shir. That's the way Rashi and most Rishonim learn. The Rambam seems to learn that the Levi here is not a Levi that's a cotton. It means a young Levi. Another pshat that the Rambam says, interesting pshat, is that when is a Kohen inaugurated to his Avodah? During the time of Shira. Furthermore, these Ktanim, these Levim who are Ktanim, interesting to point out, Rashi says that one of the jobs of the Levim was to sweep the Azara. Says the Mishnah, that when we allow Ktanim to participate, it wasn't that we allowed them to play musical instrument, Elabapeh. They were allowed to sing along. Kedelitin Tavel Benima. When you have young voices in the choir sounds nicer. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ein Oilam B'Minyan. They can't be part of the count. The Mishnah began that you're supposed to have 12 Levim. They can't be part of that count. Furthermore, they don't stand on the duchen. They stood on the floor. For a shame, bein ragle halavim, and their heads stuck up between the legs of the levim. But tsara halavim in the crime. We'll see in the Gemara why. Actually, this Mishnah is the basis of a very big machlokes rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that when kohanim go up to duchen, certainly a kohen who's a kohen who's a katan may not duchen by himself. The question that the Shulchan Aruch brings to dais is, Could a kohen who's a katan duchen together with gedolim? And it's actually a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos holds that he may. Rashi and the Rambam hold that he may not. And Tosfos' raya that he may is our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says that you see when the Levayim went to sing, they didn't allow Levim who were katanim to sing, but they allowed them to sing along with the gedolim. So isn't that a raya that the same as by duchening, you may not let a katan duchen by himself, but he could duchen together with everybody else. The Rishonim, the Michzal Lozer, in the Seif and the Muki Aruchayim, quotes his father, the Darki Tshuva, who was very opposed to allowing katanim to duchen, even together with gedolim. And in discussing this Tosfos, who has a raya from our Mishnah, there are two ways to say that the raya is not a raya. One is, it's only in our Mishnah that we just learned and will learn that you need the young voices because the young voices make the choir sound nicer. So that's why they allowed Ketanim to participate. But you don't need the Ketanim to help for Duchening. And that's why you can't bring a Raya from our Mishnah. And furthermore, we explained that not everybody agrees that our Mishnah is speaking about Ketanim. And therefore, our Mishnah is not necessarily a Raya. Ask the Gemara, Ketanim k'neged mi, why do you have the number 12? Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa Kedeg in Tadisha to Nairus. There were 9 harps, Vishnei in the volume, and 2 bagpipes, the Tzitz Lechet and 1 cymbal, Shnemar, Hu, U Elchav, Ubon of Shnei Masr. We learned in the Mishnah, En Akot Nichnas Lazar Lavoida, El Bishar Shalavim. That Akotin cannot do the Avoida of a Levi by himself. Ask the Gemara, Menon Emili, Amar Abyachin, Amar Kra, Vyam and Yeshua Bonov, Vachav Kadmiel, Ubonov, B'nai Yehudak, Echol, Anatzech, and Melech's Ois, and Melocha, Beisel Kim. The children came with their parents, but they didn't come themselves. We learned further, the Tanim were not allowed to play instruments, they were only allowed to sing. Asked the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Nevel and Kiner. Asked the Mary Lememra, the Novel Lechud, the Kiner Lechud, doesn't mean that the novel and the kinnar are 2 different instruments. Ask the Gemara, Lema says to like Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't our Mishnah contrary to what Rabbi Yehuda said? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kinnar shal migdash, the harp that was used in the base of migdash, shal shivas nimin haya, was made out of 7 strings. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, soiva smachis es panecha. Pasuk in Tilm. Atikri, soiva el sheva. Sheva means that there were 7 strings. V'shemais ha-Mashiach, where Mashiach comes, that kinner will have shmoina, 8 strings. Shenemar lemnatzeach al hashminas, al nima shminas. When Mashiach comes, there will be an 8th string added to that harp. Shal oilam haba, when there's oilam haba, which is the time after Mashiach, eser, it will have 10 strings. Shenemar Ali Osav, Ali Novel, Ali Higiyah in Bechinar. For Oymer, there's another Pasuk, all in Tehillim. Hoid Lashem Bechinar, Benevel Os Zarmeloi, Shiroloi Shir Chadosh. So we see that the Never and the Chinar are all the same. Answers the Gemara. Afil Tem Rabbi Yehuda. Loilam Haba, the Never and the Chinar are 2 different instruments. Just, I didn't Nefisha Nimna today. When Oilam Haba comes, there will be so many strings in that harp, Nafish Kinoile, it will have such a rich sound, Kinovel. Like a bagpipe, and that's why it's called novel, even though it's not one and the same instrument. So Rashi, interestingly, makes a point that till Olam Haba, the Pasuk, when it describes these instruments, uses a Lashon HaKeva. when Olam Haba comes, it's described B'Lashon Zachar. So Rashi says, why? So Rashi says, what is in the cave? A woman has children. In this world, even if things go good, there's going to be repercussions. There's always going to be something else coming up afterwards. Once Olam Haba comes, everything will be perfect. Another interesting Vart, the Maral's Vart. It's very interesting, the Maral points out, these numbers, 7, 8, 10. What do these numbers represent? So he says 7, the number 7 always represents Teva. It represents the way, the regular world order. How do we know that? Because there's 7 days to the week. So this world, we're sort of limited by Teva, by the world order. When Mashiach comes, there'll be an eighth string to show it'll be a world that will not anymore be limited by Teva. And then when Olam Haba comes, there'll even be greater opportunity, and I'll have 10 strings. There's a very sharp of art from the Chedusha Harim. He quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, why is the novel called novel? Why is the bagpipe called a novel? So it says, Shemenavel Acherim Bashir, which means that its sound is so rich that it makes all the other instruments fail in comparison. That's the Yerushalmi. So he asked, if that's why the novel is called novel, it shouldn't be called novel. It should be called menabel. So he says, you know why? Because somebody who's menabel everybody else is a novel. Continues the Gemara. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, ein olam min haminyan. The children can't be part of the count. Tane, we learned in the Brayos, v'soyad elavim hayin akroim. They were called the helpers of the Levim. Says the Tana Didon, Kivin the Hani Cotton Kalayu. The children have sharp sounding. They can hit low notes and high notes. Vahani Av Kalayu, and adults can't hit those notes. Hani Mctani Vahani Lai Maktati. So they can hit the notes and they can't hit the notes. So when the children in the choir, they're called Tsari, they make the adults feel bad. Hanulach Ein Rakham. Our Mishnah again, speaks about the style of the Mishnayos in this parak, Akula and Chumrah. Says the Mishnah, Yesh ba'erekah lahakul lahachmer, ubestei achuzah lahakul lahachmer. The erekah has Akula and Chumrah in it. The din of estei achuzah, when it could, how it is redeemed, have Akula and Chumrah. Ubeshar mu'ud, shehemus, ha'evid. When a shar mu'ud kills an evid, lahakul lahachmer. Ba'anis mefata, ubemach shemra lahakul lahachmer. And the Mishnayos and our Perek will discuss each one of these subjects. First we start with Erechin. Yesh be'erechin l'hok l'hachmer. Kate said, Echad she'erech es ha'nosh of Yisrael. If somebody said he'll give the Erech of the best looking individual in Klal Yisrael, or that's a karsh of Yisrael, or somebody who's not such great looking, chamish m'sala. We know that the maximum, we spoke about it in this Perek, is a Jewish male. It was a male, I shouldn't say Jewish. A male who's between 20 and 60, his erech is 50 shlom, and it makes no difference in what condition that individual is. However, v'mama harei doma v'lai, we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, if I say I'm going to give the value of somebody, then we don't say there's a fixed amount. Nois neshavu, we assess his value to be sold as an eved, and that is the amount that you have to give. There, who he is and what he is important.